I'll hit it with you right off the bat, Jeff. Do you think we will be playing in the NBA on July 30th? Do you think that this will get done and resume as scheduled?
I think there's a two-part answer to the question, Eric. And the first part of it, I do think we will have games on July 30th, and we'll play them. Do I know for sure whether or not we'll finish a season? I mean, that's really out of anyone's control, I think. I mean, it's sort of like we've heard from the beginning, is that, you know, the tells us. I do have my concerns about the NBA teams going into the bubble and trying to pull this off successfully without any major problems. And I do acknowledge that the NBA's plan, and you guys have seen it, 113 pages of detailed information on health and safety protocols and how to try to, if not keep the virus out, how to minimize it from a serious outbreak. And so I think they're doing all the right things in that regard. But, you know, as Adam Silver said last week, you know, none of these things are done without some kind of risk. And that's what the NBA has to live with. And hopefully there is nothing major that happens that, really puts a damper on what the NBA is trying to do.
Jeff, we were just talking with Shai Davidi, our fine baseball columnist at Sportsnet. And he said that there's an impetus on the guys to straighten up and walk properly and not stray from, you know, the medical protocols and the societal protocols that have been put down. I'm sure the NBA has those in their document too. Can guys resist that temptation? I guess just flat out. We all know the nature of NBA players and young millionaires. Can they make that sacrifice? Because that's the only way, really, that this thing's going to be able to go through to the end without incident. If people are, you know, people are making the sacrifice, everybody's making the sacrifice all the way through.
As a group, Paul, I think they can. Do I know, you know, do I think maybe that someone will stray, try to leave campus, as the NBA is calling it? I mean, you're never going to get, no matter what the rule is, you know, you guys can weigh in on this, but are you ever going to get 100% compliance? I mean, that's a hard ask, but I think the sacrifice is there. And think about this, after the first 2 weeks, you know, those teams 17 through 22 are going to be going home. And then there will be a short play, our first round. You know, we think some series will be first rounds. And so you're starting to eliminate teams and players. And I think at that point, you know, you can start to see that, you know, the players will be taking it seriously. Again, will there be something, you know, one or two maybe that gets caught trying to leave campus and then has to pay the price with some extra quarantine rules and the potential loss of salary. But I'm on these Zoom calls. You guys are too. It's, you know, Paul and Eric, everyone has made the sacrifice to try to do the right thing by and large the last 3 months, 4 months. I know some players have tested positive. That could be for a variety of reasons. And I'm not willing to say they're all just because a player wants to go out, you know, and socialize. And so I'm trying to keep the positive mindset that, you know, that most teams and players, you know, will follow the rules and do the right thing. And look, I'm hearing things. You guys are too. They're going to try to do their best to give players opportunities beyond just video games and ping pong and pool while they're in their hotel. You know, they're going to try to provide some talks. They're going to try to provide other entertainment. I know it's not going to be the same, but you hit the right word, Paul. It's a sacrifice. Everyone inside that bubble to make this work, it's a sacrifice. And I have to believe that teams have made that communication to players and staff, and everyone understands it.
Speaking with Jeff Zilgut from USA Today, you know, I don't want to be Jeff cavalier about this, I suppose, but there are many guys clearly that have wives, that have children, that have homes and large estates to wander, but there's lots of guys that aren't married. There's lots of guys that don't have family. There's lots of guys that are living in condos. This might actually be better than what they've got in terms of their setup at home. Yeah, you got to stay quarantined or stay isolated in your room when you're not at the gym, or when you're not outside by the pool, when you're not out golfing, when you're not out, you know, watching a stand-up comedian or a DJ or playing games or ping pong or whatever else. This in many sense, to your point, has a lot of options for guys that might not have had that even in their own homes or in their own cities if they actually were still trying to live a responsible life in the midst of a pandemic, you know, adhering to social distancing and whatnot wherever they live. This might be a better alternative for a lot of guys.
Eric, I think there's a portion of that that is true. Look, I think all of us who have tried to do the right thing, you know, since, you know, late March or mid-March, whenever you really first started digging in down to being safe. And so all of us, this includes the three of us sitting here talking on the phone, we are also looking for some kind of respite from this. So, you know, a change of scenery for some of these guys is going to be good. And I'm not going to also underestimate the difficulty it is going to be on some of those players who, one, do have families that are going to miss them for a significant amount of time. That includes the coaches and staffers, not only the players or anyone else inside that you know, so-called bubble. But then that idea that you're talking about, you know, I think we've been hearing on some of these Zoom calls, a lot of players, when they live in a city, they are often in a condo. You know, they are by themselves. And so this offers them that opportunity that you're talking about, the availability to do some other things. Look, it's not going to be the same. You know, guys know when players get to Oakland and San Francisco last year for the finals, they get a chance to stretch their legs, go out for, you know, very, very nice meals, have things to do, places to go. We know that's not going to be the same. You know, so the league's trying to do everything they can. We're starting to try to circle in and zero in on the situations that we hope, you know, there's enough to do and enough players follow the rules so that they can pull this off without anything bad happening.
Jeff, which teams do you think have, an advantage or a built-in advantage? I mean, I think the playing field is pretty leveled with everybody having basically an off season to recover. Who do you see as potential a dark horse, a team that, you know what, they're healthy now, they've had some time, you know, they might be at the bottom of the standings. I mean, I think of a team like Portland. Who do you think might be a team that, you know, in this restart and moving into this restructured playoffs, they get healthy and they catch fire and they surprise people?
Well, you mentioned Portland, and they'll have it tough if they make the playoffs, playing the Lakers most likely in the first round. That's not easy, but look, you mentioned it. They're getting Nurkic back. They're getting Zach Collins. It's a team with Damian Lillard and C.J. McCollum that reached the conference finals a year ago. I don't think the Lakers, you know, when you're looking at it, they would rather play Memphis or Sacramento. They don't want New Orleans. They don't want Portland. That would be difficult matchups with, you know, that's not your typical first round matchup that a team is used to, especially when home court has been eliminated. When I look over to the Eastern Conference, I have a little bit more trouble finding that team, but, you know, they are not in the top four right now. I do look at a team like the Philadelphia 76ers, getting a healthy Ben Simmons back. We know that shooting might suffer early on because guys, you know, we're seeing on these Zoom calls, haven't touched a basketball. Chris Middleton talked about it today for the Bucks, 2-3 months. I mean, he's one of their premier three-point shooters that gives them ability to stretch the floor. And so a team like the Sixers that, you know, doesn't rely on the three to get Ben Simmons healthy driving to the hoop, that's a team that, you know, I think has the potential to be dangerous in the Eastern Conference. After that, Paul, to maybe talk to the larger extent of, you know, I'm looking at teams that are veterans, have leadership, have been deep into the playoffs, and the Toronto Raptors, you know, certainly fit that mode right there of a team that knows what it takes, has the veterans, and, you know, necessarily doesn't need lots of time to, you know, find the chemistry like some of these other teams might. And so that's one reason, you know, I look at the Raptors. I do look at the Bucks. I look at the Lakers, the Clippers. Another team, while they're not among that top three or four in each conference. The Houston Rockets are another team that, you know, if they find it and start clicking with Westbrook and James Harden, it's a team that can make some noise as well. And so those are all the things I'm starting to try to put together. You know, and guys who really look at this as an opportunity to win a championship, knowing that they may not have many more. And that is a lot of the guys, you know, on teams I just mentioned.
Speaking with Jeff Zilgut from USA Today. Jeff, you mentioned the 22 teams in the bubble. Obviously, teams leaving as they're eliminated from the regular season and then from the first round. Can you explain to me, I don't even know if it's going to happen or not, but can you explain to me why we even need a second bubble for the eight teams that aren't in the playoffs? I mean, I'm failing to understand why eight teams that aren't in a season or a postseason need to be on the floor or need to be gathered together in a secondary bubble anywhere.
All right, so here's the best I can answer that, Eric, is I don't think this secondary bubble is going to happen. Look, the ESPN reporter reported is well-connected. I mean, everyone knows Jackie McMullen's credentials when it comes to the NBA. I just think maybe some executives jumped the gun on how realistic that this was going to be. Maybe the GMs are interested in this, but this is something that needs to be agreed upon with the other owners in the league, especially the eight who are not going. And I don't know if you have full buy-in from all eight owners to do this. Then you have to get the NBPA's agreement. And Michelle Roberts is already on record. She's the executive director of that, is saying that she wants the same bubble-like conditions for those eight teams and the players on those teams as it is in Orlando. And that's a difficult ask right there, and a huge expense on top of it. And then the other portion of it, though, Eric, the one thing that teams who aren't playing have complained about, and it's one reason that the Phoenix Suns have snuck into this, is that going from March 11th all the way until probably November before those teams who aren't playing gather again for training camps to start the 2021 season, that's a long stretch without having played basketball, Eric and Paul. And I think those executives want their teams to have some availability to play together somehow during this stretch. And so I think the compromise is going to be to see if those teams can't get their players together in their cities, home cities, to have workouts and to have some kind of scrimmaging so that they don't go that entire stretch without having some kind of workout and competitive basketball being played. And I think that's the main concern for those eight executives and coaches on those teams. They're teams that didn't make the playoffs or even the bubble scenario. And so they need that player development, and that's really what we're talking about. So from that aspect, I do understand why they want to somehow have access to allow their players in, but I don't think a second bubble is going to be the answer.